Northampton Kollel, Shir on Tehillim, Chapter Yud Beis, given by Gershon Hepler on Sunday the 18th of November 2007, Ches Kislev Tovshin Sam Ches. And we're up to Pasuk Gimel. Okay, we did the first couple of sessions last week. Pasuk Gimel. Shav Yadabru Ish Esri Ehu, Safas Chalokos. Shav means rubbish, or lies, or something evil. Yadabu isheser ehu. Each man speaks of his fellow, safas chalokos, with smooth tongue, or forked tongue, divided tongue. In other words, people speak badly to each other, and of each other. Belev valev yadaberu. With heart and with heart they speak. People speak, they don't quite speak what's really on their mind. They speak lies, they trick each other, they speak badly of each other, and they speak with forked tongue, or they speak smoothly, smooth talking. That's another way of understanding it, smooth talking people. So Rashi explains that when the pasuk finishes with the expression "belev v'lev yataberu," it really means that they speak with two hearts. That is, you have one heart which is really what you're thinking, and another heart which controls your mouth. And the two don't necessarily match. So you're not necessarily speaking what is really on your mind. Belev v'lev yataberu, and he says it refers to the enemies of David who pretend to be on his good, to be friends of his. They make out as though they're on his side, but in actual fact there's sinah, there's hatred in their hearts. That's how Rashi learns it. The Targum is very clear on this, because the Targum explains it with an expression of bilavavehon menablin, with their hearts. Menablin is an expression of defilement of speech. They speak badly in their heart. Uvaliba, and in their heart, shikra memalin, they speak lies. So that's how the Targum translates believe or leave taberu. They're speaking bad things. Menablin means foul language or unpleasant expressions. Uvaliba, shikra memalin, and they speak lies in their heart. In other words, they're, you know, people who speak badly of each other. And David, according to Rashi, David's referring this specifically to his own enemies.
To the face of the person, they speak nicely.
Could be.
Hypocrite.
But it's a hypocrite. That's it. Echad b'peh v'echad b'lev is the expression in Rashi al-Afiri in Parshat Vayeshev. That's to be medabe. Echad b'peh v'echad b'lev. One saying one thing with your mouth and quite another thing with your heart. The Meiri speaks about this strange lotion of yedabru. The beginning of the pasuk says shav yedabru, and at the end of the pasuk you've got the word yedaberu. Now really it's the same word. Yedabru and yedaberu are the same words, just that yedaberu is the causal form of yedabru. It's just the way the word changes at the end of the pasuk from yedabru into yedaberu. The Meiri comments though that if you think about it, it's really a future tense. And literally it means they will speak badly of each other. Shav yedabru shesu'e, people will speak badly of each other. And the Meiri, and I hope I understood this Meiri correctly, I might not have done, but from what I understand the Meiri means, is that a future tense is often used in Tanakh, not really to denote something that will happen, but rather something that happens continuously. It's a regular occurrence. It's not just a one-off, but something that which will happen many, many times. And the meaning is that they don't just speak badly once, but they will often speak badly of each other. Now, the one example of this bad speech that David is complaining about is brought in the Medrash Shechatov on this pasuk, where he brings a story which is just in the business world, it must be an everyday occurrence. There was a city with no salt in it. There was a salt shortage. In fact, two stories. There was a story number one is that there was a city with a salt shortage, and a few people who were donkey riders or donkey drivers, they had transport, went to their leader and they said, let's go out to another town, we'll buy some salt, we'll import some salt, and we'll be able to sell it, and we'll be able to make a good profit because it's a scarcity and it's needed. So this leader of the chamorim, of these donkey drivers, said, a good idea, yeah, just give me a day or two, I've just got a little bit of ploughing to do on my field, and once I've done my ploughing, then we'll all get together and I'll join you. He then gave his wife a coded message, and he said to her, if I ask for the yoke, that's the yoke to tie the donkey onto to the cart, if I ask you to pass that to me, don't pass it to me, but rather pass me the saddle. And if I ask you for the kumkum, which is if I ask you for the yoke, which of course would be normally used for ploughing, don't pass me the yoke, but rather pass me the ukof, the saddle. And if I ask for the kumkum, and the kumkum is translated in English as a coulter, and I had to look that up in a few dictionaries and encyclopedias to find out what that is. A coulter is a small instrument that is attached to the front of a plough. He said, if I ask you for this coulter, don't pass that to me, but please pass me a suck.
C-O-U-L-T-E-R.
Yeah. So in other words, he's given a message to his chaverim, his other donkey drivers, that he's going to do some ploughing. And actually, that he's got other plans in his mind. He's going to ask for things that are normal ploughing requirements, but really, he's asked his wife to pass some other things. He's going to make a quick getaway. And he gave, and that's exactly what happened, and he got away, and he saddled his donkey, and he got his sack, and off he went. And he went off to this other town, and a couple of days later, his friends came looking for him, and where's he gone? He's not in, he's gone. So they went out looking for him, and they found him on his return journey. Where'd he been? He'd been to this other town, he'd bought some salt himself, and he's bringing the salt back, and they said to him, oh, you played a dirty trick on us. We arranged we'd all go together. You told us you'd be ploughing. You're not ploughing. You've gone off and you've now cornered the market in the salt. And he said to them, no, not at all. I've gone out. I've bought some salt. I haven't quite got enough salt here. So the salt that I've bought is still considered a rarity. The demand is still high. The supply is still low. And therefore the price will be high. I'll sell my salt for a high price. You go and get some more salt. Meanwhile, I will have fixed the price at being a high price, and you'll also fetch a high price for the salt that you buy. Yeah, and this is considered, in other words, he's created a false shortage. He didn't need to create the shortage, but he's created it in order to maintain high prices. And that's considered, this is the Shav Yadabu Ishesha. First of all, he played a trick on them, because he's able to make his profit first. And between them, they're all playing a trick on the local citizens because they're creating a false shortage in order to keep high prices. That's considered a very sharp and wrong, evil practice. It must be. I'm a humble school teacher. I know nothing about business. But yeah, I'm sure it is. But the Medrash decries it.
The technology is all known. They hold the information back and they let the machines out, which are basically outdated. You've got the next one in mind, and they're just holding people captive to keep up with the technology.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's it. That's how I make a promise. And it's considered wrong. There's another story brought in the Medrash of Tov, brought by Rabbi Yonason. He tells the story of a man who wanted to buy some lentils, adoshim. And there was a shortage of lentils, and he went off to a relative of his who lived in another town, and he said to him, will I at some stage be able to buy some lentils from you? And he said, yes, of course, a pleasure. And every you come, just ask me to supply you with some lentils, and I'll happily supply you. They fixed the price, and a few weeks later, he comes back to his relative, right, I've come for my lentils, but the relative wasn't around. He was out in his own field, so he wasn't available. So he went elsewhere, somewhere else in the town, to purchase some lentils. And he comes home and says, have you got any lentils? And they said, terribly sorry, sir, we're out of lentils at the moment, but if you prefer, we could sell you some wheat. And he said, well, that's actually no good to me at all. I really wanted lentils. And they said, ah, well, if you're really, really desperate for lentils, then yes, we can supply you with some lentils, but obviously it's going to be quite a high price. And the price is far higher than the price he'd fixed with his relative. And later on, he went back to his relative and he complained about it. And he said, what's going on? You know, we fixed the price. You weren't available. But the price, I can see the price is about much higher. So his relative said, well, did you ask this chap in town, did you ask him for lentils? And he said, yes. He said, that was your own fault. You should have asked him for wheat. If you would have asked him for wheat, he would have spun you the old story. Sorry, we haven't got any wheat, but I can supply you with some lentils if you like. And then you would have bought lentils at a reasonable price. You asked for lentils first, because he spun you the story, no lentils, only wheat. You didn't want the wheat, you wanted lentils. So he realized what you really wanted, and he fixed high price. So, and this is the Shav Yadabru Ishisri, Ehu, that it's actually wrong. I don't mind admitting that I once almost fell into this trap myself. Someone asked me, he was going to buy a rare sefer in America, and he was going to send someone to buy it, and I suggested to him that he shouldn't ask for that sefer first, but rather ask for other svarim from a similar time first. And then come to the, it was a sefer the person was buying because it had been written by his great grandfather or great great grandfather or something like that. And I advised him, no, don't ask for that sefer first, because otherwise they'll realise you particularly want that one and you could be overcharged for it. I then changed my mind and I sent him an email to say, no, don't do that, because it's not menschlich. But it seems to be a standard thing in the business world. Okay. The Alkut Me'amayis on this topic, believe Balev Yitaberu, he says a very sweet point. He says, if a person is lying through his teeth, then more often than not, he will reassure you, he'll go to great lengths to reassure you that what he's saying is the truth. And he knows he's lying through his teeth. So, believe Balev Yitaberu is he'll speak with his heart, and with his heart, he'll say to you, I'm telling you this with absolute good faith, you can trust me, I'm telling you this with hand on heart, you know, this is the idea. Whereas really, he's lying through his teeth. So this double lotion, Balev Balev Yitaberu, is what is often said when a person is really Shav Yadabru. When he's really talking lies, he'll tell you, Balev Balev Yitaberu, he's really talking with all his heart. The Malbim makes a difference here. The Malbim, as often when Pesukim, poetical Pesukim, repeat themselves in different expressions, the Malbim will learn a different derivation from each set of words. So, Shav Yadabru Ishesriyehu is a very similar thing, really, to Sfas Chalokos. Sfas Chalokos means smooth talking, or talking with forked tongue. Chalokos, split tongue, really. Or split lips, almost. Sfas Chalokos, smooth talking lips. Which comes to much the same thing, but the Malbim says no. They're two different things. Shav Yadabru Ish Esriyehu, he says Shav Yadabru is an idea of emunah. That people speak lies on inyonim of emunah, of belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, while sefas chalokos is an expression of honesty ben adam l'chaveru. It's interesting, maybe he learns it's shav yadabru, comma, ish esri ehu sefas chalokos. Maybe, I'm not sure if that's how he learns it, but ish esri ehu is an expression of ben adam l'chaveru, and he says that sefas chalokos is an idea of ben adam l'chaveru.
That's strange. You're saying Benodim Lachaveru, they're okay.
No, not at all.
Or the other way around.
Neither is okay. Speaking lies.
And Hashem and the fellow man, both no good.
That's right, both are no good. Shav Yadabru, he says, is people who speak badly in terms of their munah. They don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they express that clearly to you, that they don't believe in Hashem, and Hashem has no interest in the world, that sort of talk. And Sfas Chalokos is trickery Benodim Lachaveru.
Yeah.
Both bad, both of them bad things. Yeah. Rav Shoshim Fal Hirsch says on this that chalokos really means smooth. Chalok is something smooth. And he says that without friction, if something is a totally smooth surface, then things don't stick to it. You need a certain friction to hold things in place. So he says a person's words aren't held in place because it's sfas chalokos, it's all smooth. It's so smooth that whatever he says doesn't really stick. That's how Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch learns it. So it really means with forked tongue or speaking divisively chalokos, but it also means smooth talking, because it's something which is so smooth, there's no friction.
It's interesting thing, you think two smooth surfaces.
Yeah.
Very smooth.
Oh,
yeah? Two films.
Right. Really interesting.
Yeah. So it might be something we find learn from that. somebody's talking very smooth at all, and somebody talks very smooth at all back again, and then something clicks.
Interesting, yeah, could be, yeah. Two people, both in two liars together. Yeah. Well, could be, yeah.
And himself, with Esau, and his evil lover, he was equal to their trickery.
Ah, yes, that's right.
So
oh,
too smooth.
Yeah, to match their trickery.
To match it. It's too dusty.
Ah, two things together.
Yeah,
very good. Shvech. Okay, I think that's it for possible giving. Yep, that's it for giving. Dalit. Are we going too slowly, Steve?
No.
Okay.
Is it possible that they not only mock him, they're okay? But being not only chaver, they're not okay.
No.
It couldn't mean that.
No. Well, not according to the Maldim learns that one is about Benodim Lechaver and one is about Benodim Lamokim. And it is about. We're talking here about Rishoyim who speak badly on both counts.
So both sides, five up and five down here.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Okay, Pasuk Dalet. Yachreis Hashem, Kol Sisei Chalokos. Hashem should cut off all smooth talking lips. Loshon, the tongue. Medaberes Gedolos, that speaks big, or that speaks about big things. Here's David saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should cut down anybody who's the smooth-talking liars. Hashem should cut them down. Yachreis Hashem calls his halakos, and he should also cut down. So the word Yachreis applies. Yachreis Hashem applies both to kol sisei chalokos, all people who talk smoothly, and Hashem should also cut off those who are loshon medaberes gedolos, those who speak big things. And then when we say big things, it means big bad things. That's what it is. Now, here we have an interesting discussion among the Rishonim about this Loshon Yachreis Hashem. Yachreis Hashem, God will cut off. There are two ways of looking at this. The Ibn Ezra and the Radak both discuss this. The Ibn Ezra seems to say that this Yachreis Hashem is a nevuah. David has a nevuah. He's saying that Hashem...
Oh, I don't believe this.
Yachris Hashem, called Sisei Chalokos, where are we at? So, yeah, sorry, the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra learns that this word Yachris is a nevuah. David HaMelech has a nevuah to say that Hashem will cut off all these evil speakers, people who speak badly, and it will happen. While the Radak learns, no, it's not a nevuah. 1 minute, sorry, before we come to the Radak, the Ibn Ezra quotes a pasuk about this. He quotes a pasuk from Yirmiyah. Perk Yudzan, Pasuk Yudalad, it's the Haftarah for Shabbos B'chukosai, Rafa'ini Hashem Ve'irafei. Hashem, heal me, and I will be healed. And he says, that's a nevuah. It's as though there's a nevuah that I will be healed. So he says, likewise here, David is expressing a nevuah that Hashem will cut off all these people who speak badly, or speak lies, or trickery, and so on. While the Radak learns differently, he says, no, it's not a nevuah, it's a tefillah. May Hashem cut off. It's a request. May Hashem please cut off all these smooth-talking people and people who tell lies. And this second opinion of the Radak, that it's a tefillah, a small proof for it is brought in the Masad Rav Kook Tehillim, where he brings a beautiful vort there on the dikduk of the word Yachreis. Now the word Yachreis is kafresh sof in the Hifil. He will cause to cut off, or he will cut off. But it's in the Hifil, and being a Hifil, there are two ways of expressing it. You could either say Yachris or Yachreis. They're both Hifils, they're both alternative forms of the Hifil. But the more common form would be Yachris. Why is it Yachris? Future tense. He will cut off
you.
Like say Yashmid, or Yashris, velo Yashris, v'hibar Yashris. We would expect it to be Yachris.
Yeah.
Which is a matching pattern to Yashmid or Yashchil, yeah, or other Lashonis. So why did Yachris, says the Masad Rav Kook, reminded me of something which I'd forgotten in my dikduk, forgotten going back to my A-level Biblical Hebrew days with Clifiston, that the Loshon Yachris is a tefillah. It's not he will, but it's may he.
And it's, and I think he calls it, I think the grammatical form is called adjusives, but I'm not sure. Not, it's not quite a command. Command would be hachris would be a hissel imperative. But it's not a command. It's not an imperative. It's a form of the future tense, but it's not the natural future yachris. It's a future tense of the slight change yachris, which is more of an expression of tefillah. I hope he will cut off. May he do so. Yeah, yachris. May he cut off. Okay. The Medrash HaChetuv on this pasuk brings a Maimon Chazal, very well known Maimon Chazal, in the name of Bar Kafra or Kapora, in the name of Rabbi Yonason, and the same is brought in the Yerushalmi in Peor, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, and the same is also brought in the Gemara in Arachim Daf Tes Zayin on the base. Where the Gemara goes into it, and this Maimon Chazal goes into the last expression, Loshon Medaberes Gedolos. The tongue which speaks great things. Say Chazal, this refers to Lashon Hara. People who speak Lashon Hara. That's the idea here. Lashon Medaberes Gedolos. Says the Gemara, and says this, Maimon Chazal, Medrash HaChetuv, and in Yerushalmi, that Lashon Hara is worse than the three cardinal sins of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Aroos, and Shlichus Dongim. Why? Because in Avodah Zarah is described in Shemos chapter Lamed Beis Pasuk Lamed Aleph about the Egel, it says, "Ona chata ha'om hazeh chata ogedola." These people have sinned a great sin. Vayasu lahem Elohei Zahav, and they've made for themselves this golden god. Moshe Rabbeinu talking, and he refers to Avodah Zarah as chata ogedola in the singular. That's Avodah Zarah. Gilui Arayos is brought in Parshas Vayeshev chapter Lamed Tes Pasuk Tes. Where Yosef says when the wife of Potiphar is trying to seduce him, he says how can I do this great bad thing? And he refers to the avera of Gilui Aroos as ra'ah hara'ah hagadolah in the singular. Likewise, Shlichus Damim, murder, is brought in Bereishis with the death when Cain killed Hevel. Chapter Dalos Pasuk Yud Gimel, Gadol Avoni Minaso. My sin is too great for me to bear. Says the Medrash, all of these are brought in the singular with the word Gadol in the singular. Here we're talking about Lashon Hara, and it's Lashon Medaberes Gedolos in the plural. And it being a plural means that Lashon Hara is a weightier avera than these three cardinal averas of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Aroos, and Shlichus Damim. The Malbim explains the difference in our pasuk between sifsei halakos, lips, and loshen, and the tongue. And he says, and I don't fully understand this, but it's something along the following lines. He says, loshen represents dibur panimi, inner speech, because the tongue is within the mouth, while whereas the lips, sifsei halakos, represents outer speech. And I think what he means is inner speech, what one is thinking, and outer speech, what one actually expresses. And he says, and both of them are in the plural. Sifsei chalokos is the plural, and Lashon Medaberes Gedolos is in the plural, expressing that both of these are... Sorry. Made a small mistake. There's nothing to do with the plurals here. But rather, both the outer speech, sifsei, and the inner speech, Lashon, are both considered... are both considered bad. It would be bad enough if a person either thought badly or spoke badly, but here's a person who's thinking badly in a speech, represented by the tongue, the Lashon, and the outer speech is doing both of them badly. That's how the Malbim learns. Yeah. The Metzudas David says on this last expression, Lashon Medaberes...
So you had bad thoughts, if I did not express them, that would also be bad.
It's bad, but it's nowhere as bad as having bad thoughts.
This is double bad, because then you're getting it out of your mouth.
Exactly, yeah, it's bad. That's right. Metzudas David learns Lashon Medaberes Gedolos is about Rishayim who try to impress people. And they try to impress people by always talking medaberes gedolos. They're always speaking haichamaisas. You know, they're speaking about big things. You know, and then they impress people by talking about world politics or whatever it might be, in order to impress people. But really, what they're really their main agenda is an agenda of rishus. That's how he learns it. Lashon medaberes gedolos. They're speaking big things, and people are impressed by them. The Malbim learns again. The Malbim splits this pasuk of Sifsei Chalokos, he says, is Benodim Lachaveru, while Loshem Medaberes is Inyonim Vemunah, which is Benodim Lamokim. Again, it makes the split in the pasuk between Benodim Lachaveru, Benodim Lamokim, two expressions of speech from the lips and the tongue. He says the lips here is a representation of Benodim Lachaveru, while the tongue is a representation of Benodim Lamokim. The Medrash called Osius de Rabbi Akiva, which I've never seen, but I've seen it quoted many times, it brings here that brings on this pasuk the Yachris Hashem Kasis Chalokas that the Osid Hakadosh Baruch Hu Listom Peh Shel Dovrei Shikarim. In the future, that means times of Mashiach, I guess, Hashem will finally close the mouths of those who speak lies, and that's a. This is the Osis Rabbi Akiva with the it literally goes to the Aleph base, and it's the Rabbi Akiva who gives who darshans all the letters to the Aleph base. That's where he's got a very famous expression about Sheker and MS, the letters spelling out the word MS, Aleph Mem Sof have all got a very firm base to them. The Aleph stands on two legs, and the Mem stands on a wide base, and the Sof stands on two legs, all solid. The MS is a word that can stand solidly, whereas Sheker does not stand solidly. The Shin, of course, in the Sifter, comes to a point, and the Kuf is a totally sort of a lopsided letter, you know, stands on one leg with another leg coming all the way down, so it's totally lopsided, and the Resh is a top heavy letter, standing on one leg with all the weight of the letter, so to speak.
Isn't the Shin on a firm base?
Not in the Sefer Torah.
Oh, right.
You're leaning tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
You'll notice it tomorrow.
The Shin is like split in the base.
No, not split, but the Shin here, you see the Shin actually stands on a V shape.
Oh, no, V shape.
Comes to a very sharp point.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah? The middle leg. Yeah? It's a V shape with the middle leg as well.
Should roll over. It could roll over.
Yeah, exactly. It can't stand. Yeah,
it's like a V shape.
That's it. Yeah, that's right.
So Sheker has not got a solid foundation.
Ein lo raglayim is the expression. Ein lo raglayim. Sheker has no legs. Or he's got no feet. He's got no solid foundation. Exactly. Yeah. The Psikta Rabosi, Parasha Lamed Gimel, I didn't look it up, but I saw it quoted, brings here, that if a person wounds someone else, and then heals them, he'll wound them with, wounds them with an Ismail, with a knife, and then, how do you patch up the wound? You put a plaster on, or a bandage on it. Whereas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, umnosi eino kein, my business is not quite like that. Elopat, v'dovah shehu makeh, bo, v'dovah hu merape. HaKadosh Baruch Hu heals with the same instrument that he punishes with. Why? Because we have a pasuk in Yirmiyah, chapter Lamed, pasuk Yud Zayin, Hashem says, from your makos, from your wounds, that's exactly how I'm going to heal you. I'll heal you with the same methods with which I inflicted the wounds. Why? Because, and how does it work with our pasuk? Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll heal all the problems of those who spoke badly. That's our pasuk. Yachris Hashem Kosisa Halachas Lashem Medaberes Gedolos. He'll cut down all those who spoke badly. And there's a pasuk in Yeshaya, chapter Nun Tes, pasuk Gimel, which says, Sister Seichem Dibru Sheker. Your lips spoke falsely. So that was the fault, if you like, that's the makah. And the refuah is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll cut down all those people who spoke badly. That's the makah. Now, the Gemara in Arachin, Daf Tezvav Amud Beis, brings a Maimah Chazal. It's Rav Acha by Rabbi Chanina Omer. Let me give you the meter down to you. What's the cure or the teshuvah for a person who speaks lashon hara in Talmud Chacham? Who, if he's a Talmud Chacham, yasek b'Torah, he should learn Torah, and he quotes a pasuk for it. And if the imam ha'aretz who, and if he's an imam ha'aretz, then yashpil dato, he should make himself very humble. Shenema, and he quotes another pasuk for that. So we have one of these two things. Either if he's a Talmud Chacham, let him learn Torah and use his mouth for Talmud Torah rather than Lashon Hara. And if he's an Amma Aretz, he should undertake to be an Onov. That's the Gemara there. And the Marsha on that Gemara says that these two things go hand in hand. That speaking, that being an onov, sorry, that speaking lashon hara goes together with someone who is who's bound to be a haughty person. He wouldn't speak badly of someone else unless he felt that he was better than the other person. He speaks badly about Reuven because he feels better than Reuven. So that's the so both of them, these things are cures for lashon hara. Talmud Torah, because you're using your mouth for good things instead of for bad things. And Yash Bildato, making yourself humble, because that goes against the grain of those people who speak lashon hara. And in fact, they are brought together in the Pasuk in Tehillim, chapter Kuf Aleph, Pasuk Hey. And if our shiur continues long enough, and we're all blessed with Arifas Yomim, and Yisra Shem will get there, where the Pasuk says, Meloshni Vaseseri Ehu. Those who speak badly in secret about their friend, Oso Atzmis, I despise that person. That's Lashon Hara. And the apostle continues, Gva Inayim Rechav Levov, someone who's a Baal Gaiva, Oso Lo Ochol, I cannot abide him. So the same pasuk speaks about person who speaks Lashon Hara, and also the person who is a Baal Gaiva. So the Marsha learns, that's why these two things go hand in hand. Someone who's spoken Lashon Hara, he should make himself into an Onov, and that'll be the cure. First of all, Chazal say in Kiddushin, I can't remember where it is, it's approximately Daf Lamed Aleph or Lamed Beis. The Gemara says if a person has a machshava ra'a, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarfo L'maisa, Hashem doesn't count that as though it was an action. He just thought of doing an Avera, but he didn't do the Avera. It doesn't go against him. However, with some things it does. One thing in particular, the Gemara says clearly, if a person has an absolute intention to serve Avodah Zarah, and, yeah, an intention, that's a mashav ara, he has an intention to serve avodah zarah, but he doesn't do it, it still goes against him. But you have other averis in the which are performed in the mind only. Lo sisna esachicha b'vavecha. Don't hate, pasuk in Kedoshim, lo sisna esachicha b'vavecha. Don't hate a fellow Jew. Yeah? And gaiva, haughtiness, is very often in the mind only. And it would be an avera.
The mind is full of mad thoughts.
The
mind is never still.
Yeah.
What's going through the mind, and you've got a little control over it.
Well, no, I think the Torah does expect a person to keep control of it.
Try. I mean, obviously, but when you sleep, the mind is full of thoughts. Some thoughts are mad, the thoughts come up in your dream.
Yeah, yeah.
So, as you are during the day, your thoughts go through your mind. Sometimes your wild thought goes through your mind, but it doesn't intention it. It's like an empty head. Something will always fill it. It's not always something good.
You shouldn't have time to sit still doing nothing, thinking.
I'm not being funny.
This is when people have nothing to do, they're in trouble, either with their minds or with their hands.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the whole point.
So they say about unemployed people, they commit crime. Yeah. They've got nothing to do.
What's the national chazal? Habatala mevia lidei shiamun. If a person is a bottle, he's idle, it brings to madness.
I'll go and learn. You say, the age that I taught you, I'm tired. Say, I'll have a quick 10 minutes nap before I go and learn. In a 10 minutes nap, you'll think some strange things.
Yeah.
Because you're resting. Because the mind cannot rest. It's got to be active.
Well, yeah. Sometimes I sit and think, and sometimes I just sit.
Right, okay. That was Dallas. Okay, Prosperk, hey. I think I've finished it. I think we had.
Okay, that's what I'm trying.
That's it, yeah. Okay, yeah.
considered. Well, some.
As you were saying, try and avoid having the bad thoughts.
Yeah, for sure. If a person thinks of breaking Shabbos and doesn't break Shabbos, then he has not done the Aveira. But some Machshavas Rotos do count against the person. We're still talking about these Rishoyim who use their mouths and tongues for bad things. Asher Omru, they say, Lil Shoneinu Nagbir, with our mouths we will be strong. They rely on their tongue. With our tongues we will be strong. They're relying on their tongues for success. Sefasenu Itonu, our lips are with us. Miodon Lonu, who is a master over us. We can say what we like, which in turn leads to we can do what we like. Miodon Lonu, who is the master over us? No one is a master over us, we can therefore do whatever we want. That's so here David is still describing the Rosha, who's a Rosha with his mouth, who says what he wants and does what he wants. Rashi explains this, Shemenu Nagbe is Niskaber. We'll be strong with our tongues. We can lash out at people verbally and trick people by telling them lies and so on. The closing words of the Pasuk, Mi Oden Lonu, who is a master over us, is rejection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. People who speak badly, they reject HaKadosh Baruch on this basis. And that is echoed by the Targum with the opening words of the Targum on this passage, which is Min de Chofrin Be'ikra. From those people who are Chofrin Be'ikra, they deny the Ikra, they deny the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Omrin, because they say Bilishamana Niskaber, and so on. Let's be strong with our mouths. So the closing words, Miyad and Lonu, are painted very clearly by the Targum. It's about people who are Kofer Be'ikra, and in fact the Gemara backs that up as well. The Metzudas David says on this, Miyad and Lonu, who is the master over us, we can say what we are not thinking. In other words, we can speak in a non-genuine manner. Why? Because who is the master over us? No one can tell what I'm thinking. This is the reaction of these people. No one can say what I'm thinking, and if I can say what I like, and they won't know that I'm telling a lie. That's Miyad and Lonu, who is a master of us. That's again a rejection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu does know what a person is thinking. We have an interesting lashon here on Lil Shoneinu Nagbir. The Meiri says, comments on this lamed at the beginning, Lil Shoneinu. These people say, Lil Shoneinu Nagbir, with our tongues we will be strong. And he quotes a pasuk from Shmuel Beis, Perek Gimel Pasuk Lamed, where it speaks about how Yoav killed Avner. Remember that Avner killed Yoav's brother, Asael. And Yoav ended up killing Avner in revenge. So the pasuk says, "V'Yoav v'Avishai Ochiv horgu la'Avner." I'm not sure why Avishai is included here. V'Yoav Avishai is the other brother. All three sons of Tzeruah, nephews of David. V'Yoav v'Avishai Ochiv horgu la'Avner. They killed Avner. And you would have expected the prophet to say Hargu Avner, or maybe Hargu S Avner, but Hargu La Avner. And the Meiri quotes this pasuk as being a case of where occasionally we have a lamed as a prefix where you wouldn't necessarily expect it. Likewise here we have Lil Shoneinu Nagbir, with our tongues, let us be strong. The Medrash Shechetuv speaks about this Miyad and Lonu, who is the master over us. Rabbi Yossi Barav Chanina says, Ein Adam Omer Loshon Hara Al Chaveiro, a person does not speak Loshon Hara about his fellow Jew, until Shehu Kofer Bo'ikar, until he denies the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, the denial of Hashem is a precursor to speaking Loshon Hara.
I say what I like, in other words.
Yeah, exactly. Hashem doesn't...
I say what I like. And
he's not master over the world, and therefore I'll say whatever I want. Exactly right. And that's Loshon Hara. Yeah. Again, and then the Shechetov goes on to say, im hofach l'shemcha lema l'shem ra al chavercha, if your tongue turns to make you speak l'shem ra, or to make you want to speak l'shem ra about your chaver, then shamin b'divrei Torah, then teach it instead to speak divrei Torah. Goes hand in hand with the other man Chazal we had, the cure for l'shem ra is to learn Torah. And then Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, a lot of this is also found in Arachim Daf Tezayin on the base. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai comments on this, that Lashon Hara kills Tlisoi, kills three people. It's a well-known Mamma Chazal. I suppose it's well-known because the Chofetz Chaim's work on Lashon Hara and how he wrote these Mamma Chazal many, many times in his own Sfarim. That Lashon Hara kills three people. The person who speaks, the person, the subject of the Lashon Hara, the person about whom it's spoken, and the person who's Makabel Lashon Hara, the person who believes it. And then the Medrash Shecha Tov expands on this and says, in the name of Rabbi Bizi, in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, that in the time of Shaul, Lashon Hara killed four people. And that refers to the case of where the city of Nov Ir HaKonim looked after David, and Doeg HaAdomi reported this to Shaul, and Shaul wiped out the city of Nov, and that in turn, says the Medrash Shecha Tov, cost a number of people their lives. Not just the city of Nov, but Doeg lost his life. He was the Masaper, he spoke the Lashon Hara. He lost his life eventually because of this Lashon Hara. Shaul lost his life because of this Lashon Hara as well. He died in a battle against the Plishtim. And Avner also lost his life on account of this. Not that he did any of the killing, but it seems he didn't do the killing of the people, of the Kohanim of Nov, but he could have stopped Shaul from wiping out the city of Nov, and he didn't. Seems he was within his powers to prevent it happening, and he didn't manage to prevent it. And therefore, Avner lost his life as well. So here in the Medrash Shecha Tov, Rabbi Bizi in the name of Rabbi Yeshua points out that Lashon Hara actually, on this occasion, resulted in the deaths of four people. In fact, more than four, because the Kohanim of Nov were many, or four categories of people. Yeah.
Shaul was a religious man.
Very much so.
I don't know how many, a few hundred.
Yeah. How could he do? It was a major blot on his career, of Shaul.
Yeah.
But the chat to explain, Shaul is described by David as Shaul B'shir Hashem. Mm. That's the thing to remember about Shaul. He was a tzaddik through and through. Yeah? Mashiach Hashem, as David describes him, Mashiach Hashem, and he was a Bechir Hashem, choice one of God. So what happened to Shaul? And the answer is most likely, the way I learned it from Kai Fisto many years ago, is that first of all, Shaul suffered from depression.
Yes.
So he was mentally sick. Yes. No, but he wasn't a well man, he was mentally sick. And on top of all that, he could never accept that David was the new appointed Melech.
Hmm.
Yeah. And therefore he viewed David as a Merib B'Malchus, someone who's rebelling against his own authority as the king.
But he was talking about Shmuel.
Yeah, he couldn't square it. He couldn't accept it. He couldn't get it into his mind. He couldn't accept it.
Yeah.
Maybe on account of his depressions, I don't know. But he couldn't accept it. So as far as he was concerned, David was a Merib B'Malchus. No, it's Halacha. Merib B'Malchus is Chayav Misa. And a king has a right to kill a Merib B'Malchus without a basting, without aiding, without Hasra. He can just pull the trigger and kill a Merib B'Malchus. And that's how David viewed, and that's how Shaul viewed David.
Well, once the Shmuel had told him that Hashem was taken away from Malchus, surely
he, in Hashem's life, he was no longer a monk. Absolutely. Yes, Shaul was no
monk. It's true. Everything he did was no pharaoh.
No, but he thought he was the king.
Yeah, I know, but he's living a life of a pharaoh.
Yes.
He was no longer the monk.
Okay, but okay, so maybe we can excuse that by speaking about his mental illness. But he really was. He was a sick man. Yeah, he was a sick man. He needed David's music to help to lift him out of his depressions and so on. Yeah. So, okay. Something brought in the art scroll on Tehillim. This actually is brought in the Gemara, actually, but then it's commented with an additional comment. The Gemara speaks about how the tongue is withheld. The tongue is one of the most protected limbs of the body, in that it's held within the teeth, within the jaws, within the lips. And nevertheless, it manages to break free. That's the measure to break free and lash out at people and tell lies and lashon hara and all the other evils that we speak. Yeah, and yet it's withheld. And Reb Chaim Vital, the article quotes Reb Chaim Vital on this, who says that's why Asher Omri Bizrashon say Lil Shanenu Nagbir, the tongue needs to be is a source of strength. It needs to overcome all these protective things in order to lash out, because the teeth and the lips could and should keep it at bay, and yet the tongue seems to vanquish all of those and be able to speak out even despite the lips and despite the teeth and despite the jawbone. And therefore, Lil Shanenu Nagbe, the tongue itself is considered a strong aver because it's got all this power over these other parts of the body that should keep it down. Now, the Gemara in Arachin Daf Tes. Oh, I've written here Tezvonim Beis. I think it's Tezvonim Beis. Let me check it. I'm pretty sure it's Tezvonim. The Gemara in Arachin says, no, it's Tezvav on the base. Oh, right. I made a mistake. Earlier in the show, I said Tezvav on the base. It's Tezvav on the base. The Gemara in Arachin there, Tezvav on the base, brings this idea of a person who speaks Lashon Hara is a Kofa Be'ikar. He denies the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's a most fabulous verse here from the Ben Yehoyada, Reb Yosef Chaim from Baghdad.
And Lashon Hara is true, isn't it? It's true.
So the Ben Yehuda speaks and says as follows. He says his comment on this expression of being kofer be'ikar, denying the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the pshat in the Gemara. Then the Ben Yehuda brings an amazing pshat on this idea of being kofer be'ikar. He says as follows: how many teeth does a person have? Dr. Shimon.
Now 28. Oh, well, I checked this. He brings there are 16 top and bottom. Are you including the wisdom teeth?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Ah, well, I checked it with Debbie, my wife Debbie, who's a dental nurse. And she said there are 32 teeth. And she said, including the wisdom teeth. She said, not everybody has wisdom teeth.
Yeah, right.
She said that to me last night at about, must have been about 1 o'clock in the morning and half asleep. But she said it. But she said, yeah, there are 32 teeth. 16 teeth top and bottom, right? 16 teeth altogether on both layers. So he says, this idea of 16 teeth, the number 16 is represented by Yud and Vav. Now, a Yud and a Vav, because you have two layers of teeth, that's two Yuds and two Vavs. Says the Ben Yehoyada, and the shape of an Aleph, the essential shape of an Aleph, is a line at an angle, an oblique line, with a Yud at the top and a Yud at the bottom. That oblique line, if a person denies HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's denying the oneness of Hashem, the Aleph, the Echad, the Aleph, it's as though he's slicing the Aleph in half. And he's slicing it in half along that diagonal. So he says that results in a shape of a split Aleph. And here's this picture of a split Aleph, right? Just in the safer of a split Aleph, he's there, right? Which is the shape of two volts now. That one singular oblique line split in half gives you two shapes of a volt, i.e. a straight line, yeah, and two yuds. And that's your, so these are the two layers of the teeth, right? With 16 teeth on each, giving you a total of 32 teeth, a yud and a vav, which is 16, and another yud and vav. And that's because your kofa, the person who's kofa be'ikar, he speaks Hashem, he's kofa be'ikar, he's denying Hashem, so though he's slicing through the aleph of Hashem, giving you a yud and a vav, right? Giving you two sets of yud and vav.
A little bit there is a yud, and that little bit there.
Yeah, two. The one vav, which is the oblique line, is split in half into two vavs, two shapes of a vav. Yeah? And then he says, now, take the word ikar, aleph yud kuf resh. He said, if you spell out each letter, you spell out the letter ayin, you spell it ayin yud nun. Spell out the letter yud, yud vav dalad. Spell out the letter kuf, kuf vav fe. Spell out the letter resh, resh yud shin. He says, the central letter in all of these, look, ayin yud nun gives you a yud. in the middle. Yud Vav Dalet gives Yud Vav in the middle. That's a Yud in the middle and a Vav in the middle. That's Yud and Vav, 16. Top layer of teeth. Kuf Vav Fei, the central letters of Vav. And Resh Yud Shin, the Resh, central letters of Yud. So it says the central letters are two sets of Yud and two sets of Vav. He says that's the number 16. Says two layers of the teeth. He says the teeth, which are partially responsible for the lashon hara, is being kufer bo ika. You're denying Hashem. You're splitting the aleph in half, giving you two sets of yud and vav, representing the two layers of teeth, 16 teeth, and kufer bo ika. The ika, you're denying the ika, and the central letters of all of these are yuds and vavs. Interesting.
Yeah,
that's how the Ben Yehuda learns. It's not shut, of course, not shut, but it's a beautiful walk there from the Ben Yehuda.
The Sephardi Ben Yehuda?
Oh, yes.
Ben Ishchai.
He is the Ben Ishchai.
He is the same
as the Ben Ishchai. Yeah, Ben Ishchai. He wrote one sefer called the Ben Yehuda, he wrote another sefer called Ben Ishchai, which is mainly halacha. Yeah, that's the Ben Yehuda. All Yidden who come from Baghdad in the last, going back in the last 100+ years, were all sort of, they all worshipped in the feet of the Ben Yehuda, and many of them were called Yosef Chaim as a result. We got Yosef Chaim in our school, a young boy, to the Saudi family, my Sid Chavrusa, Reuven Lavi, he's got a son called Yosef Chaim, who's from Baghdad. So he's got, he was the leader of the Baghdad Kehillah. Now the Zohar in Shlach Lecha, I haven't seen this since, I just saw it quoted, says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is prepared to forgive all Averis other than Lashon Hara. Why? Because the Lashon Hara within Lashon Hara is a kefira, is a denial of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is kofa b'ikka, denying of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is kofa b'ikka. So that's one of those not prepared to forgive. And the Malbim, following his whole theme on this, the Yisub Sukkim, splits again this pasuk, Lil Shaneinu Nagbir, he says that's in yonim of emunah, people who speak badly, verbalize their lack of faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, while sefaseinu itanu is the expression of ben odom lachaver, people who speak badly and they trick each other and they tell lies to each other and lashon hara about each other, and that's sefaseinu itanu. So again, that's how he splits these psukim. Each of them have got a double expression, one of the tongue and one of the lips. And he says it's two in yonim. One of the yonim is Amuna, which is Ben Odom Lamokim, and another is Ben Odom Lachaveru, speaking lies and so on. Okay, that's it for Pasuk. Hey, now it's 5-2. I could start a new Pasuk, which we don't want to leave it there, as you wish. Pasuk Vav. Mishod Aniyim, from the
oppression.
Thank you, oppression. You know, when we went through the chapter first time, I couldn't remember. You helped me out on the same word last week.
Same word.
I can't remember. Mishod Aniyim, thank you. From the oppression of poor people, may Enkas Evyonim, from the cries of poverty stricken people, poor people, Ata Okum Yema Hashem, now I will get up, says Hashem. Once poor people are oppressed and they cry out to Hashem, he says, now I'm going to get up and I'm going to help them out. And this expression is doubled at the end. Oshis b'yesha yofiach lo. Yofiach is an expression of speaking. Yofiach lo, he will say, Hashem will say to him, Oshis b'yesha, I will place salvation. Oshis means I will place, yesha is Yeshua, is salvation. So Hashem reacts to the oppression of the poor people by saying, I will help them out, I will rescue them. Now, who are these poor people implied in this pasuk? Hashem says he's going to help out the poor people. Who are these poor people? And Rashi says that David is saying, it's myself. He says, I'm myself, I'm oppressed, I've got lots of enemies, and I feel an oppressed individual, and Hashem, well, now that I'm oppressed, and now that I'm crying out to Hashem, Hashem will, Ata Okum, now I will get up. Hashem says, now I'll get up and I'll help David. So it's myself, says David, it's also my men, and it also refers to the Kohanim of Nov, who of course were killed at Ashol, and Hashem reacts, although I'm not quite sure how he reacted to help out those Kohanim, or maybe he will maybe these Kohanim died unjustly and therefore Hashem will help them out in a position in Olam Haba, maybe that's what it means. So Hashem will help the poor oppressed people, and these are the poor oppressed people, says Rashi, myself, says David, my people, my army, and the Kohanim of Noz. Now, this expression, Yofiachlo, is a very tricky expression, and there are two very distinct ways of learning this pshat, the words Yofiachlo. The first way of understanding it is an expression of speech, and that's the main simple translation. Yofiach is an expression of speech. Why? Because the word menapeach means to blow. It means to blow something out, to blow something out. In fact, we had this earlier in chapter Yud, Potokei, called Sererov Yofiach Bohem, talking about a Rosha and how he deals with people around him. A Rosha called Sererov, what will he do with all his enemies? Ah, Yofiach Bohem, he'll blow them away. Yofiach is an expression of blowing someone away. We have from the Mishnah, we have one of the Tanoim is Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha. And Nafcha, it was his job, he was a blacksmith. And a blacksmith uses bellows to pump air into the fire to keep the fire burning, pumping in oxygen. And that's this word, nafcha. Nafcha is to blow. The use of the bellows to blow air. And the job of the blacksmith is described as a nafcha because he's blowing air. Menapeach is to blow. So yofiachlo means he expresses with his mouth by blowing out. He'll blow out some words or he'll speak. And what does he say? Oshis b'yesha, I will place salvation, yofiachlo. That's what Hashem verbalizes. That's one derech on this word yofiach. It means to speak. That's Rashi's first pshat. Rashi brings the second pshat in the name of Menachem, who would be the famous Rashi often quotes this Rishon Menachem, who is a lexicographer or a person with an expert on Lashon HaKodesh, and that yofiach is a derivative of the word pach, and pach means a trap. Yofiach
mishpah. We had this before.
We had it quoted earlier. I think we mentioned it on that pasuk. We had two pshatim on that word called Torah of Yofiach for him in chapter your pasuk K. Correct. Yeah. In fact, you came out with the pasuk then as well. I listened to the tape, so I remember that you said that. Yeah, and I've jotted down. That's from Tehillim Kuf Kaf Dalet pasuk Zayin. Yeah. Hapach Mishbar. The trap is broken, and it refers to our enemies. The trap who are. Our enemies, they're broken, v'anachnu nimlotznu, and we can thereby escape. Yeah. So, this word, yofiachlo, is Hashem will place a trap. Hashem will place a trap for Rishayim. Oshis b'yesha, I'm going to place a salvation. Yofiachlo, Hashem will place a trap for our enemies to fall into, and that'll be their punishment. So two different thoughts on this, as to how to understand yofiachlo. Others learn, and in fact this is brought by the Metzudas David, that Yofiach, let me just check this, yes, that Yofiach is in the Hithil. Yofiach is a Hithil. Like Yonia, he will cause to move, or Yabia Omer. Yeah, this is an expression of it, this is in the Hithil. Yofiach, it's Hashem will place salvation against those who place the traps. Yofiach lo, the person who lays the trap, that's yofiach, lo for him, for whom? For the poor person, referred to the beginning of the pasuk, Meshud Aniyim Me'en Kasev Yonim. Yeah, the person who is yofiach lo, the person who places the trap against those Aniyim, for those people, Hashem will get up and will Oshis B'yesha, Hashem will create a salvation for the Aniyim against those who are yofiach lo. So within this pshat of yofiach, that it comes from the expression of pach, meaning a trap, there are two different ways of learning it. We understand that pach can mean a trap, but within that pshat, there are two different ways of learning it. Either yofiach lo, Hashem will set a trap for our enemies, or yofiach lo, Hashem will react against he who sets a trap against the Aniyim. So it's two slight technical differences there as to how you learn that word yofiach. The Ibn Ezra points out that the mem at the beginning of the Pasuk, min shod aniyim, and then the other mem, mei enkasev yonim, means as a result of. Because of the oppression against the poor, and because of the crying out of the poverty-stricken people, therefore Hashem says, I will get up. Ata okum yom Hashem. Hashem says, I'll get up and I'll help them out. So that mem really means because of. Yeah, a small point brought by the Ibn Ezra. Yeah, the Ibn Ezra points out on this pasuk as well that David is expressing a nevuah. He's prophesying that Hashem will indeed help out these aniyim at some stage. It's not a tefillah, like we learned earlier, according to the Radak. It's a nevuah. Yeah, he's saying, I know that this will happen. It's a nevuah that Hashem will help out the Klal Yisrael, or help out aniyim. Now, the Radak points out that we have here two different expressions. We have mishod aniyim, and may enkasev yonim, and it's to appeal to two different senses, says the Radak. Mishod aniyim is the oppression of the poor that I witness, that I see. So David is saying, I've sensed the oppression of the poor because I've seen it. May enkasev yonim is from the cries of these poor people, that's the other sense, that I've heard their cries. So it's two different senses. David is addressing the fact that he's aware that these poor people are suffering, and he's aware of it using two different senses. One sense that he can see their oppression, and the other sense that he can hear their cries.
So Hashem is saying, Hashem has his senses, no? Because Hashem will arise.
No, it's David saying. David is saying, I see what you mean. Yeah, you're right. It's because David, because Hashem is aware of it. Yes, I suppose so. Okay, yeah.
Because like Hashem can see it. Hashem.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, fair point. Maybe that's a shout in the Radak. Yeah, it could be. It's not David sensing it, it's Hashem sensing it. Yeah, it sounds right. Yeah, man, sounds like I got it wrong the first time. Correct, thank you. Oh. Yeah. Now this word, Oshis, at the end of the passage, Oshis b'yesha yofiach lo, Oshis, I will place salvation. Shos is to place. Velo shos libo gam lozos, he didn't set his heart about Paro, he didn't pay no attention to Moshe, velo shos libo. The Meiri learns that shos means, he says the root is shinvov sof, and he says it means to wage war. And he quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya, chapter Kafbeis, pasuk Zayin, where the pasuk says, "Vayhi," talking about our enemies waging war against Yerushalayim, "Vayhi mivchar amokayich mola urochev," and the valleys are full of the best valleys are full of chariots. These are our enemies' chariots heading against Yerushalayim. V'haparoshim, I think that means the horsemen, shos shosu hashara, are waging war against the gate. In other words, they're heading to wage war against the gate of Yerushalayim. This is how the Meiri knows. So he says that oshis is an expression of milchoma, of battle. And in fact, we had it earlier as well. We had it in... Loi Rami Rivvis Om Asher Soviv Shosu Oloi, which is in Perek Gimel. Here it is. Yeah, Loi Rami Rivvis Om Asher Soviv Shosu Oloi, which I won't be scared of all the people who are waging war against me. That's in Tehillim chapter Gimel Pasuk Zion. So again, this learns like the Meiri. He doesn't bring that pasuk. The Masad Rav Kook brings that pasuk. But you can see that Oshis can be understood to be an expression of battle. Yeah. The Masad Rav Kook brings a very nice idea on the said may enkas of yonim. Enkas means from the cries of the yonim, and he says the root is aleph mem kuf, and he says it's related to the same letters in a different order, nun aleph kuf. And he quotes a pasuk from Shemos, chapter base, pasuk kaf dalet, vayishma elokim es na'akosom, which is nun aleph kuf. So it's the same letters in a different order. We had it last week, a similar idea. On which word was it? It was on Fasu. That Fasu is an expression of Sof in the Targum. Fasu to finish off, and Sof, and we have other words I mentioned last week, like the word Keves and Kesev, both meaning a lamb. Same letters in different order. Well, here we have Enkas, Aleph Nun Kuf, being very similar to Na'akosom Nun Aleph Kuf. You see, it seems to be a feature of Lashon HaKodesh.
Interchanging letters.
Interchanging letters.
Same meaning.
Same letters, same meaning, different order. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting, yeah.
Transposed, I think, is the word, isn't it?
Transposed, thank you.
Is that the word?
Yes. Must be, thank you. Transposed. Move position.
Transposed.
Move position. Thank you. Yeah. Now, the Yalk Shimoni on Mishle Os Toftof Kufnun. Let me read this out to you. Os Toftof Kufnun. Yeah. One second, Mishne. Toftof Kufnun. Yeah. That is. Yeah. Omer Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Ha'oshir ocheles ha'oni ba'olam hazeh. The wealthy man consumes the poor man here in olam hazeh.
Yeah.
Poor, downtrodden, poor man. But but in the future Hakadosh Baruch Hu tova umimenu. Hashem will claim it all back from that wealthy man who oppressed the poor man. Shema emar, because it's apostolic. Mishod amir me'inkas evyonim. Omer Hakadosh Baruch Hu higia zman. The time has arrived. She esfa mikem. Shod amir. The time has come for me to claim from you the oppression that you inflicted upon the poor, shegazaltem, that you stole from them, or mashet siartem osam, and that which you upset them, you sadden them, you oppress them. So there will come a time when this happens. That's the shot on this. There will come a time when it happens. The Medrash Rabbah in Bereishis. Oh, this is very topical. This is the Medrash Rabbah on this week's Sedra. It's so nice. Relating to that week's Sedra. Right at the beginning of our Sedra, Parshas Vayishlach, the Medrash Rabbah says, let me read this out, it's in the name of Rav Pinchos. Rav Pinchos Omar, Chamisha Pa'omim, five times, David make him la Kodesh Baruch Hu b'Sefer Tehillim. There are five times in Sefer Tehillim where David invites HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get up. And let me tell you quickly that he invites HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get up. Now go through them all, it won't take a moment. Chapter Gimel Pasuk Ches, where the Pasuk says, Kumo Hashem Hoshieni Elokai. Kumo Hashem, get up Hashem. Chapter Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, where he says, Kumo Hashem Be'apecha. Get up in your anger and Hinosei Be'avre Sereroi and conquer all the enemies in your anger. Chapter Tes, Pasuk Kaf, where the Pasuk says, Kumo Hashem Al Yo'uz Enosh. Don't let a man take advantage. Kum Hashem, you get up and put him right. Chapter Yud, Pasuk Yud Base, where the Pasuk says, Kum Hashem, get up Hashem, Kel Nesoyodecha, raise your hand, Al Tishkach Anovim, don't forget poor people. And finally, Chapter Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Kum Hashem, Kadma Fonov, again, get up Hashem destroy the enemy. Hachriyehu, the Pasuk says, knock the enemy down onto his knees. Five times we have it. I'll just immediately say,
Kuma Hashem. Yes.
Kuma Hashem. This expression, Kuma Hashem. David invites Hashem to rise up against our enemies no fewer than five occasions. Now, we'll say as an immediate aside, a point brought by the Eitz Yosef, the Pirush on the Medrash Rabbah, then in fact it's not true. There are many more than five. Oh, yes, it's Sevecha, yeah, in Balischa. Oh, yeah. Oh, but in Tehillim, we're homing in on Tehillim here, that even within Tehillim it happens many more than just the five times. Says the Eitz Yosef, he refers to the first Sefer of Tehillim. You know, Tehillim is divided up into various Sforim, and here in the first Sefer of Tehillim there are these five. There are others, but in later Sforim. Alternative explanation, he says, there are, it does have it many more times, but these five are references to HaKadosh Baruch Hu rising up against our enemies. The other times it says Kum Hashem is not necessarily meaning rising up against our enemies. But of course, as you say, in Palischa we have the same thing, Nachon. Yeah. So we have it five times. And, so let's see what Rav Pinchas says. Rav Pinchas Amar, Chamisha Pa'omim, David make him HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Sefer Tehillim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David invites HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rise up against our enemies no fewer than five times in Tehillim, in these first Sefer Tehillim. And the Medrash goes on to quote all five. Amale HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says to replies to him, David Beni, David my son, Afilu at Mekimeni Kama Pa'amim, even if you ask me to get up many times, Eini Kam, I'm not going to get up. I refuse to get up. Ve'emos Eini Kam, when will I get up? L'chesed Tire Aniyim Nishtodim Ve'evyonim Ne'enokim, only when you see poor, downtrodden, oppressed poor people, and these Evyonim, these poor people crying out. Ha'hu dechsiv, and that's the pshat in our posuk, m'sho damim inkas Evyonim, ata okum yoma Hashem. It's only now I will get up. It takes the oppressed poor to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu get up, to see to things, to look after their, to stand up for their rights. Now, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Zayin Omid Aleph.
Well, they said only Torah will come from the poor children or something.
Yes.
The children of the poor, Torah
yes.
will come.
That could be, yeah, that's what I remember, yeah? Oh, maybe, yeah. Oh, here we have a mimer here in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Zayin Omid Aleph. Omer Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani, Omer Rabbi Yonason, Kol Dayan Shedom Din Emes Lamito. Every judge who judges Emes Lamito, truth, according to the absolute truth, Mashe Shechinah B'Yisrael. He makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu rest his Shechinah among Yisrael. Shenema, Elekim Nitzov Ba'adaskel, Bekev Elekim Yishbos. Hashem will rest, Bekev Elekim. Elekim is an option of judges. Mishpat, yeah, Yishpat. V'chol, and then we have the converse. V'chol Dayan She'enu Don Dinem Samita. Every judge is not judge absolutely correctly. Goring Mishkinah She'tistalek Mishal. He causes the Shekhinah to depart from Yisrael. A judge who is unjust in his ways causes the Shekhinah to go away. She'ne'ema, as we have a pasuk, Mishod Aniyim Me'inkas Evyonim. When these Aniyim are oppressed and they're not dealt with justly by a Beis Din, Ata Okum Yema Hashem. Hashem says, now I will get up and I'll go away. In other words, the Shekhinah will go away from us if the judges are not just in their ways. Then the Shekhinah will depart. And the riff on this Gemara, that's the riff in the Ein Yaakov, comments on this Gemara. He asks a very simple kasha. I kicked myself, I didn't spot this kasha myself. He says, the lashon of the Gemara is that if the Kol Dayan She'don Din Eslamito, if he judges justly, correctly, he's Mashre Shekhinah. He makes the Shekhinah rest. But if he judges unjustly, he says, Gorim l'shchinah shetistalik. He causes the Shekhinah to depart. Now, those are not parallel. They're not opposites. The opposite of Mashre, of making the Shekhinah rest, would be Masalik. He makes the Shekhinah go away. But it's not as direct as Masalik. It's Gorim l'shchinah shetistalik. He causes, a bit indirectly, the Shekhinah to depart. So the Rif asks this kasha, Naim Yaakov, why doesn't it say Masalik? And he answers he says always Merubba Midotova. That's it. Midotova Merubba. We always speak positively in far greater quantities than we speak negatively. I think the Maimon Chazal is Midotova Merubba Midot Peronus. That good things are always more bountiful, yeah, amplified, thank you, than a Midot Peronus, than a punishment. Yeah. The Medrash, I didn't jot down where this Medrash comes from. No, I'm not sure. I do know. It's in the Medrash Shechetov. He splits the last phrase in two sections. Oshes b'yesha, yofiach lo. The Oshes b'yesha is rescuing the Klal Yisrael, and yofiach lo is setting traps for the Rosha. And Rabbi Ushia Omar, when I save these Klal Yisrael, I will create a burning judgment for the Rishoyim. So it's two sections. Oshis Yesha is saving Klal Yisrael, while Yofiach Lo is punishing the Rishoyim.
So about the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, we have here Meshud Aniyim and the Inkas of Yonim. Meaning pretty similar things. They're parallels. Meshod Aniyim and the Inkas of Yonim, because due to the oppression of the poor people and the cries of the Yonim of the poor people. The Malbim says these are two different things. He says an Oni is less poor than an Evyon. Actually, this comes from a Rashi somewhere in Sefer Devarim. I can't remember where. that an oni is a poor person, while an evion, the word evion, has absolutely nothing. Yeah. And it comes from the root aleph veis hei, which means to want, because he's wanting in absolutely every facet of his existence. He's left wanting in him. He has nothing. So an oni has more possessions or more money than an evion. That's why when we speak of the oni, we say mishod amim. The amim are oppressed. The last pennies that they have are squeezed out of them. Whereas when we speak of the evion, we can't say that because he's got nothing.
They've got their cries.
So they have their cries. Their income from the evion.
They've got no money.
Yeah, they've got no money, so cries only. Yeah. That's right. They cry. And what are they crying? They're crying that there's no one around to help them. This is brought by the Malgim. Reb Shimshon Falhash.
We say Friday night, don't we? The good woman extends her hand, you know?
Yes, yeah.
You know the song we sing?
Yeah. Kappa Postola Oni.
Yeah, that's it.
So the poor person, she puts out her hand to give the money. Yeah.
But with the Evio, she goes even more.
Yeah, they need even more because they have absolutely nothing at all. Rabbi Shimshon Othel Hirsch is such an amazing knowledge of Lashon HaKodesh. He says this root aleph veis hei, which means to be fully wanting, also means to agree. We have the pasuk v'lo avol shalchom. Paro did not agree to send them away. Says Rav Shimshon Falhash, aleph veis hei is to submit to the will of another person. The evyon, who has nothing in his life, automatically submits to the will of others. Interesting. Aleph makes hay, he says, is to agree, i.e. to submit to the will of someone else. And he also points out how your fiach lo is just a... another big point here from Rosh Hashanah. The Oshis V'yeshe your fiach lo, he says your fiach, he goes along with the lashon of your fiach is to express words, to verbalize something. He says not to speak as so much as to whisper. He says HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with Rishoyim in his own quiet way. It's a whisper. He bides his time. He waits. He's not in a rush to get rid of the Rishoyim. He'll get rid of them in his own good time. He'll wait. It's all with a whisper. And indeed, just with a whisper or with a puff, he can blow them away. To blow out. That's it. Cool. And we've done Pesach Vav. Cool. Baruch Hashem.